is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends, live from the patio of the Portsicall Waterfront Restaurant, where we're celebrating the arrival of the tall ships and a giant rubber duck. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in, and I thank you for coming to Portsicall today. On today's show, you'll learn all about the Tall Ships Festival, hear from our travel guy on how to take a tall ship vacation, and we'll be invaded by real live pirates. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Once you've watched it, you can't unsee it, and posting it on Twitter will get your account shut off.
And what happens on today's show stays with Jay Campadonia.
An L.A. area cop gets busted in Vegas trying to make a backdoor deal. I've got details in minutes.
And double-checking the state of the cosmos, Chris Martin is here.
What do you think it means when astronauts find sea plankton living on objects out in space? I'll try to explain.
All right, that's all coming up. Thanks again for tuning in today. Let's get things started.
Hey, is everybody out there having a good time? That's what I'm talking about.
Look at that. Loves the live audience.
I do.
And we love you, too.
He feeds off it.
I do.
All right, so Jennifer, you're talking about Twitter, but I think the whole unsee it thing, it's in the news these days because of that terrible video that was put out there by those guys who were taking over parts of Iraq, right?
Right, the death of journalist James Foley at the hands of ISIS. You know, he was pretty new to journalism only in the last 10 years. His prior career was teaching inner city kids and teaching in prisons. I mean, he was an all-around great guy. The video of his beheading's been making the rounds on the internet. And it's one of those things that, do you watch it? Do you not watch it? Well, Twitter and some other social media outlets are trying to block the spread of not even just the video, but just some of the photographs of his beheading in a movement to deny his killers the publicity. It's also pretty much gaining a lot of momentum. What do you guys think about that? I mean, is that a slippery slope? Is that like censorship if Twitter shuts off your account?
You're balancing the freedom of speech with something that seems like a reasonable choice and common sense in this case.
Yeah, and nobody needs to see that. I remember when Daniel Pearl was brutally murdered. And I remember watching that. Nobody needs to see that. Yeah. No one. It should even have come over here on our shores. We should have stopped that before it got over here.
Right.
Right. So, I watched one. His name was Nick, I think, who was beheaded. And it was, it's exactly what I said. It's like you can't unsee it. My Facebook friend and NBC colleague, Brian Moore, says, for anyone thinking about watching that beheading video, why let terrorists invade a part of your brain that you'll never win back?
Yeah, don't let
and
them win.
And it's really true. Yeah.
All right, Jennifer, let's move on to the next story. And this is a little interesting because, first of all, the whole idea made us uncomfortable when we heard about it, that the TSA was going to start scanning us and they could see what was going on. But now...
Right. Or what wasn't going
now
on.
Now what? We're getting the last laugh, aren't we?
Yeah, those See You Naked scanners, I used to call them, the rapid scans where you stand there like Vitruvian Man and they, you know, that they introduced at airports a few years ago. Pretty much they're no good. They don't work. Researchers at UC San Diego were able to smuggle guns and explosives and all kinds of stuff past them. And pretty easily, they concealed a .380 ACP pistol. Do you know what that is, Jay?
Well, it's a handgun. I know that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So
and it's a relatively small one where you could hide in a crack, if you get what I'm saying.
Right. I think they hid one behind someone's kneecap and a pant leg, plastic explosives.
Explosives?
Yeah. And also, it wasn't just being able to, like, tape. You can use Teflon tape to conceal this stuff. They installed malware to produce fake all-clear images as well.
Oh.
So, and that's pretty easy to do. It's almost like, you know, just...
So they're not like they're not a full-blown X-ray. I thought it could see everything like right through to your bone structure.
No, you've seen those images. It's like you can kind of see the outline of your clothes, and then you look like a big plastic person, but you can see kind of a lot of stuff.
All right, so they got to keep using these, or is this evidence enough that maybe they need to go back to the old school?
Here's the thing. They already knew that they weren't really all that good, so they've been carting them off to courthouses and prisons. TSA isn't really using them anymore. They cost us $1 billion, though, you guys.
Oh, wonderful.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Your tax dollars at work.
So get ready to be touched. That's
just go
what
back,
you're saying.
Yeah, the pat down and the wand.
Now, when I was in high school, I think I had a friend or two. They were on the wrestling team. I didn't for a second consider wrestling. And going back to my childhood days, if I may, just for a moment,
This story is going to convince me never to go back in time and to become a wrestler.
A long, long time ago, friends.
What happened, Jennifer?
Well, you know, if you've ever watched wrestling, like high school wrestling, they get really close and it's pretty intimate contact. I mean, they're just all up in each other's business. And in fact, a 14-year-old kid in Detroit infected with herpes while wrestling. Poor kid. I saw his picture. He's got it all up the side of his neck.
Ooh.
And he, you know, he says it started with a bad headache and a rash and then a two-day stay at Children's Hospital. Diagnosis, herpes. Doctors came in and said, you know, hey, how about sports? Wrestling? Do you wrestle? Any of the kids have any wounds? And he said, you know, a bunch of the kids had, like, pimply foreheads that were blistery.
That's just what it's like to be teenage.
Right? Yeah. Nasty.
So he thought, you know, no problem. He's 6'1", 229 pounds. He'd hope wrestling or football would be his ticket for a college education, but he says he's not banking on it now that he's got herpes, and it's really visible on his neck because it's like, who's going to want to play me or wrestle me?
I wrestled in high school, and what they do is they put you in a room, they shut the doors, they shut the windows, they turn the heat up, and everything in there just festers. When I was wrestling, there was an outbreak of ringworm.
That's pretty common, actually, because it's just all that close contact and all that. It's like you're a big petri dish. It's gross.
Yeah. All right. Go
Poor
team.
Kids. Yeah.
All right. So off to you, Jay, because we have a story of a local law enforcement officer who, let's just say he got a little trouble in Las Vegas.
A little trouble. Glendale Police Department officer, right? He goes to Vegas, and what is it? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Not in this case.
Well, exactly. So he started to talk to a woman who he thought he could maybe pay for a little bit of fun, shall we say, at the Flamingo Casino. And if you've ever been to the Flamingo in Vegas, it's terrible. They run rampant all over that place. So you got to be careful who you talk to and who you may, let's just say, solicit. So evidently, this guy talked to an undercover cop for an hour and a half. And then negotiated a deal for $250 for a little something extra.
Okay. We don't have to go into that.
He couldn't take it. He couldn't take the woman back to his hotel room because his buddy was already up there with another one. So he decided that it would be best to go to the woman's car in the parking garage and get down with the get down, right? Well, as soon as they walked in there, he negotiated $250 plus a little bit of gas money. When he forked over the gas money, undercover cops just jumped onto the onto the car and arrested the guy.
And he's police out here? What department?
Glendale Police Department. Oh. This is not the first time this guy's been in trouble. He's been in trouble for harassing other officers while on duty.
Uh-oh.
So he just seems like he's kind of a
Hang up the badge.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Chris, your turn, buddy. We're going out into space for this story.
We are, yeah. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but a couple of Russian cosmonauts were cleaning the windows of the International Space Station, which is like the halfway point where we all go before we're going to continue on to the moon or other places. And they found traces of sea plankton and other microscopic particles on the surface of this giant space object. So exactly what we'd see out here in the ocean that supports the tall ships we're seeing today. The plankton are not indigenous to Kazakhstan, which is where the station was launched from. So they were guessing that the microbes, scientists are guessing they were blown on a warm air current from the ocean onto this space station before it was sent up into space. But the weird part is, here you have a living organism in a place with no oxygen, zero gravity, extreme temperatures, cosmic radiation, and you have to wonder what's next.
So how soon before we're invaded?
Yes.
That's right. And I say on going with the experiments. We'll start with other sea creatures like starfish and seagulls, maybe otters.
I love it.
See what else can survive up there.
Can you get me a little echo on the voice so I could say sea plankton in space?
Is it really alive, though, Chris?
It is. Yeah, it's living out there. And it's not living at the same rate that it would if it was down here on Earth and in the ocean. But it's surviving. It's surviving out there in the middle of space.
And we are live and surviving here at Portsicall Waterfront Restaurant at the L.A. Harbor, celebrating the Tall Ships Festival, which begins today and runs through Sunday. And the guy behind all of this will explain what you're going to see down here. And that's next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The Friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow and Friday at Portsicall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow and Friday, noon to 3, Portsicall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Live from the Portsacall Waterfront Restaurant in the LA Harbor for the Tall Ships Festival.
All right, people are having
a good
time.
It's As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Glad to see you all here, and thanks for tuning in. We want to find out what this big event, it's happening today through Sunday, is all about, the Tall Ships Festival. And joining us now is the executive director of Tall Ships, Craig Samborski. Hey, Craig, get right up on that microphone. How are you?
Good to see you, Phil.
Great to see you. All right. Now, this has been going on for a handful of years. Describe it for us.
Okay. Well, so the last time it was in L.A. was 2008. So we haven't been here in a while. We're excited to be here. We've got 13 tall ships coming in. We've got 51 L.A. food trucks. We have three stages of entertainment going nonstop from beginning of the day to the end of the day, and we've got this inflatable duck.
Yeah, I saw the duck.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, it went out to sea, didn't it?
I thought you had it on after me. It's waiting.
No, it's waiting out there. Did it go out to Angel's Gate to await the tall ships?
Yeah, so it started the parade of sail, which started about 15 minutes ago, so I'd give it another 20 minutes or so. You're going to see it pass right by here with 13 ships going by it.
Wow. So 20 minutes, everybody get their cameras ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
You'll have a wonderful photo op.
Oh, where do these ships come from?
So these are primarily West Coast ships. We've got ships from Dana Point, San Diego, Long Beach, San Francisco.
Now, are these just like people's toys that they're bringing out, or are they owned by corporations? Where do these things come from? Money-wise?
They're primarily, usually what happens early on is somebody with a lot of money builds them.
Ah.
And after a while, they get sort of ready to pass it on to somebody else, and they go to a museum. They're typically all owned by a nonprofit. Like, for example, two of the ships that you see come by here, the Irving and X.E. Johnson, are the official tall ships of Los Angeles, and they're owned by the Los Angeles Maritime Institute. So in addition to doing festivals, these ships do sail training programs, primarily for youth. But they're just about all owned by nonprofit museums.
All right, gotcha. And so when the tall ships come out, they're going to park over here in the harbor, and will people be able to board the ships and walk around and check them out?
Yeah, absolutely. There's like really three different experiences you can have on the ship. You can just enter the festival, walk around, look at them from shore. You can get on them, climb around, or you can go sailing on them.
Now, what about the giant duck? Can I board that and climb around?
You can.
Okay, cool.
I'll get you over there tonight.
Thank you.
Now, here's the thing with the giant duck. We thought it went missing a couple of weeks ago.
We found it. I found it.
You did?
No, I'm just kidding.
Somewhere in China, they had it for some festival there, and then they moored it, went to sleep, and a monsoon came by at night. It went down the river and disappeared.
And the duck
is
gone.
No more duck.
Right.
But today we have a duck.
We do.
Explain that for me, sir.
This duck was built, the inflatable parts built by a company in Brunswick, Ohio, and the pontoon was built in Ontario, California. And the way it works is you have an agreement with the artist who designed it, a guy from the Netherlands by the name of Florentine Hoffman. And we picked our companies to build it for us. And so I now own The world's largest rubber duck.
You own the world's largest duck.
Good for
you.
You,
ladies and gentlemen.
Hell of a bathtub,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, my parents are really proud of me for that. Trust me on that. But my kids can't figure out how to describe what their dad does for work. Their friends ask him, and it's just impossible to say, well, he owns the world's largest rubber duck.
Yeah. That's got to be the coolest dad in the block to know.
Yeah, but it is a very cool duck. You guys will be very
happy. You have to inflate it, though, don't you?
We do. So I was hoping you guys could help out when we're done here.
No. I know Phil's full of hot air, but that doesn't work.
And I leave it all in the court here when the show's over. I'm breathless. But
we have a couple of blowers in the center of it. My colleague is actually inside the duck right now monitoring those blowers.
Oh, my God.
When he goes by, wave and say, hi, Grant.
How hot is it in there?
It's pretty warm, but the air is blowing around, and it's constantly bringing in fresh air. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. That's good. So what? Now here at the festival, you talked about the food trucks and about the boats, the tall ships. First of all, how tall is tall? What qualifies them to be a tall ship?
Boy, that's a good. You know, I would that boat sitting right in front of us. I would call that pretty tall. I think there's some distinctions between like schooners and brigantines. And I honestly, Phil, I can't tell you the exact.
And galleons and yes. and scallions. I think
I'm more
somebody
of an
has on their
planner.
Salad
not,
over here.
I'm not a.
But it has to do with the height of the mast. Is that what you're looking at?
It has to do
at?
With the height of the mast and the number of masts. Yeah, exactly.
But are we talking about some ships here that may look like they came from the the 16th or the 17th century?
Yeah, like the Black Pearl or something.
Yep, absolutely. You will. Yeah, exactly. You will see like the twin brigantines, Irving and X.C. Johnson. They look like they're out of. Mutiny on the Bounty or Pirates of the Caribbean, and most of them do.
Great. Okay, very good. Now, what else can people see when they're down here in the L.A. Harbor this weekend?
They'll see Mermaid Deanna swimming around, welcoming the duck here shortly. Friday night. Yeah, Mermaid Deanna.
Will she be here today?
She's over there right now.
Swimming in the ocean?
Yes, she is.
Wow. Wait a second. Phil, I got to go.
All right. You have a thing for mermaids.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the mermaid, the giant duck, then, the ships, the food trucks. What else?
A fun thing on Friday night, we're going to show the movie, The Little Mermaid, on one of the sails of the tall ship over in the harbor.
Oh, how fun.
Yep. There's some ships going out tomorrow afternoon through Sunday doing cannon battles, so we're going to slide up by Angel's Gates
and
load the cannons up with black powder and shoot at each other.
All right.
Now, I heard that there was also a pirate contingent and perhaps even some sword fighting going on. Is that correct?
There is. Yeah, absolutely. The rogue privateers are set up around the site, and they're doing demonstrations with swords and black powder and shooting and pillaging.
But you needn't bring your own sword from home, right?
No. That would be a bad idea.
That's probably not allowed?
I did try that.
You did.
It did not go well.
Security stopped
you.
Can't swashbuckle on the
Can we do a double feature with the mermaid movies and back up the Little Mermaid with Splash? Because I love that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a great idea.
I want this guy on my team.
Throwing it out there.
You'd fit right in with us.
All right.
Another really cool thing you can do, I got a lot of great kids' activities, but one of the funnest is making the little rubber duck hat and crafted. The Arts and Craft Marketplace at Port of L.A. is over on our site doing crafts, and their warehouse is right down the street. Very cool, fun place to go to.
Craig Samborski, if you could, one thing that when I talk to people, they always say, where is that again? Ports of Call, San Pedro? Oh, it's like in another country. Can you explain? It is really very easy to get here.
It is.
Once you decide you're going to come down, there's really like two turns and you're here, right?
I'm from Minnesota and I can get here very easily. 405 to the 110.
South.
South. 110 to Harbor Boulevard. Take a right and you literally can't miss us. Just look for that big yellow duck.
Yeah. It's about as easy as it gets.
It
and
is.
Again, it's today through Sunday. And what are the hours? Whenever you can get here?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is noon to 8, and Saturday and Sunday is 10 to 6. And one thing I would, here's a great tip. Buy your tickets in advance and your parking in advance online. You will save yourself a lot of time at the event.
What's the website?
www.tallshipsfestivalla.com.
All right. Very good. Cool. Craig Samborski, so glad you came. And
thanks.
So
thanks.
Glad you came up with this idea for the Tall Ships Festival.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.
The owner of the world's largest rubber duck. Right here,
thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Craig.
Hey, Phil, can you look across the harbor? Count how many people are on the Iowa right now. Look at that.
Oh, the USS Iowa.
Look at that.
Is packed with people right now.
How fun.
And just a program note, they actually have a CEO of the Iowa, and he's going to be on this program. We'll be here on the patio today, tomorrow, and Friday. The CEO of the Iowa will be here with us to
talk about
the ship. Is
that like an admiral?
I think he may pull rank on the admiral. I'm not sure. Right?
What? Yeah. Always the guy behind the guy, right? Yeah, that pulls the strings.
There always is one. Yeah. All right. Jay, you have this story, and we talked about police all the time. You had the one police story out of Las Vegas.
Correct.
Here's another story, and I don't know how in the world this happens as often as police officers investigate situations.
It comes out of the great state of Florida, which all crazy stories do, right? So a cleaning crew goes to this house, and they find what they think is a mannequin laying in a garage, okay? Evidently, a man was in his house, and he committed suicide. He hanged himself. And the cleaning crew thought that it was just a Halloween prank a little bit early. They thought it was in bad taste. They didn't think anything of it. So they loaded the guy up, threw him in a dumpster, and then took him to a landfill. Turns out the guy who runs the landfill goes, "What is this stench coming from this back corner back there?"
Oh.
So they walk over there, and sure enough, it was actually the last tenant who lived in the house.
Somebody's going to sue. Suicide.
Oh, you think?
Somebody is going to sue.
You think?
Yeah.
But can you imagine that? They just cart him out. See ya.
But on the other side of the coin, Jennifer, we do have the good news about you can do just about anything you want at any stage of your life. You could decide to be a novelist if you want to. Isn't that right?
Right. When you're 86 years old and you live in Utah and you're a great-grandmother, you can write a steamy romance novel and embarrass your kids.
Oh, yeah.
This lady, her name is Georgia Gorin. She writes under the pen name of Georgie Marie, released this book in February. She says it took her 5 years to write the tale of a woman who, listen to this, Phil, a woman who listens to talk radio and is turned on by the voice of the man she hears. Oh, that voice on the radio. Oh, magic.
I think
voice.
I dated her at one time.
Right? So her adult daughter, Bobby Posey, she says she's proud of her mom's accomplishment, but that she was kind of taken aback by the amount of steaminess in the book. And also, even though her great-grandmother says it's all fiction, her daughter isn't buying it, she says, the daughter says, a lot of it's actually real life. I mean, we know who she's talking about.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we know exactly who she's talking about. Hey, we're enjoying the Tall Ship Festival here at the L.A. Harbor, right here at the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant on the patio. And up next, how to take a tall ship vacation when our travel dude joins us here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
Woo!
Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
Woo!
Live from the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant in the L.A. Harbor, celebrating the Tall Ships Festival. And some of the tall ships are cruising by as we speak. We see at least a couple of them.
I want to swing from one of those masts like the guy in Goonies did.
That would be fun.
Hey, and you guys.
No sign of the giant duck yet. I wonder if it got lost out in Angel's Gate. We don't want the duck to get lost once again. Is the duck on the way? It is on the way.
Maybe one of those blowers and it failed.
That is such a relief. You know what? You see these ships, you think, wouldn't that be a great vacation to get out on one of those and go out on the high seas? Our travel dude, Gary Warner, is here with us, and he's attempted this on a couple of occasions. So let me ask you, Gary, can you do a tall ship cruise vacation?
Yes, it is possible, Phil. First of all, for just today, it's Travel Admiral, not Travel Guy. Travel Admiral.
Addled.
Aye,
Captain.
That's more appropriate. Yeah. Yeah, you can still do it. There are some companies out there, mostly catering to high-end. But as a practical matter, it's been more difficult since 2010 when some international maritime laws changed.
Some maritime laws changed. Did it have to do with the U.S. government, or was it other governments? Who has a beef with it?
It was an international agreement, and it's the Safety of Life at Sea Act, and it's actually been around for a long time. And what they decided was that beginning in 2010, certain ships that were all wood in the interior or made it difficult to escape had to stop carrying passengers as like cruise ships. So that, for example, I sailed with this great funky line called Windjammer Barefoot Cruises out of Florida on this ship called the Yankee Clipper, which was owned by this millionaire George Rockefeller from Los Angeles.
Who Never then heard of
him. Yeah. Yep. He just decided to, well, maybe that's because he decided to take a walk out a 10-story building or 10-story window of the yeah. Hotel Mark Hopkins up in San Francisco.
You know way right. too much about this. All right.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
about
so,
the ship?
Well, the ship is great, but they're all a little funky and things like that. And realistically, they weren't one size fits all. It was just this thing that this international group basically wanted to say, wooden ships that can burn or sink real easily. The ships that are difficult to get around in, like some of the older cruise ships, including the original QE2, these needed to basically be put away for special purposes and not be allowed to
for
carry
things like the Tall Ship Festival here in the LA Harbor. But Gary, let me ask you: don't they have those? And I've heard of Windjammer before. They have the fancy newfangled sail ships, and don't they have cruises around Hawaii and Tahiti with those?
Well, there's like three different kind of companies that call themselves Windjammer. Yes, they do. Now that's the question here: whether you want to get on a ship that is a real sailboat from the 1920s, 1930s, or you want to get on a modern ship that has been made to look like a sailboat.
Yeah, modern.
So, yeah.
Check
and
that.
That's what, really what you're getting, that's what you're getting now is that basically a lot of these sailing ships are essentially they could do the entire trip without ever putting a sail up. The sails are there just yeah. to look nice.
Wow.
But there are a few places you can still go out and get on a real sailing ship. I think the most beautiful one is the Sea Cloud, which is out of it was built in 1931 and was owned by Marjorie Post, the Post cereal lady, and E.F. Hutton, her husband.
You're talking about some bucks there.
Right, E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, right. that
now,
kind of stuff.
Let me ask you this, Gary. Is there a way around the maritime rule? Can you kind of sneak onto one of these if you want to really experience an old ship?
Yeah. I mean, if all you want to do is get out and take a ride, there are a number of places in San Francisco and East Coast where you can go out for a day trip. There's groups who are nonprofit organizations that have some waivers on things like these. But if you want to go out for a longer type trip, your best bet is to get around the law by renting a boat.
Oh, just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's what it is. Okay, the law says these ships cannot carry passengers. Okay, well, what do? We do a little word thing here where basically I, Gary Warner, rent this ship. And then I invite a lot of my friends to come along, and maybe they pay me something. I hire a crew, and we all go out. That is not passengers. That's basically my renting a boat. So
it's a charter, yeah?
Yeah, it's a charter, but you can get, fairly large party charters.
Yeah.
This isn't like, getting a, something where a couple of couples are taking
it. But it sounds fun for a short period of time. If you want any kind of luxurious accommodations, you're going to get tired of the ship maybe in a 4 or 5 hour
period. Very much so. Yeah, right? I did 1 week and a tiny little closet of a room. Everything on a real sailing ship is pitched. The deck is always pitched because the wind is pushing you. And that is wonderful. For a while, but moving around, when you're trying to get to the bathroom at night and stuff like that, it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, shouldn't be drinking on a boat like that, right?
Let me just describe.
No, that's the whole point.
Gentlemen, let me interrupt and just describe what's happening here on the patio right now. Everybody's up on their feet. Several tall ships have gone by, including one that had somewhat crimson red sails on it. But right now, here it comes. It's 6 stories tall. It's the world's largest rubber duck.
Holy smokes.
Everybody's taking selfies. They're taking pictures. And it's creepily staring at us right now with its big, giant eye. And here it comes. I'm going to take my own selfie at the moment. There are romantic photos being taken. People are kissing as the duck goes by. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
George, do you want to kiss for my selfie, Phil,
quick? Yes, please.
Okay.
Ready? Say hello to Grant. He's on the inside of the duck. We learned that from our previous section. What do you think? Could he use an extra couple of pumps of air? See, getting a little saggy out there?
Get out there, Phil. Come on. You got
this. We're going to help out with that.
Saggy duck.
But that is something. 6 stories tall. That's some kind of a duck. All right, back to you, Gary, our travel-addled dude.
Something less exciting.
Hey, let me ask you this. Can we have a pirate vacation? Is there something we can do in the Caribbean or maybe the Barbary Coast or something like that?
One of my favorite choices that's left is an organization called... Star Clippers, and they have a number of ships that really look like sailing ships. Lots of sails, and they basically go around in the South Caribbean. Now, the South Caribbean around Saint Vincent, around Grenada, around the Grenadines, that's where the early Pirates of the Caribbean films were all made. So you can, you know, get your Johnny Depp thing on.
Do they have rum?
They have more rum than you could ever believe.
I'm in.
You know, and you know, drinking is a, you know, the sundowner laws are very strict. You must come out and have a sundowner out on the deck, and that's when it's wonderful. I mean, the idea of being out on the ocean, moving along without that engine sound and being so close to the water. You know, if you take these big cruise ships today, they're basically apartment buildings that have been laid over on their side, and you go out on the deck and it's so far down. Here you really feel like you're out at sea, and especially when you're bobbing around through these little islands or something like that, it's just magic.
Gary Warner, always great to talk with you. Where are you off to next week?
Off to next week. I'm not off to anywhere next week, Phil. But I'm starting to look at my fall schedule and what I'm going to be heading over to either Japan or England for some fall color.
Nice.
Different kind of fall color. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
I'll tell
all
you
right.
About it.
Our travel addled dude. That's Gary Warner. Thank you very much, Gary.
Addled,
we'll talk to you next week.
Dude. Admiral.
Admiral. Not addled. Get out of here.
I like addled better.
Go back to bed.
All right,
they're both true.
We're live on the patio at the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant here on the L.A. Harbor. It's the Tall Ships Festival. The Tall Ships have just paraded by. The enormous six-story tall rubber duck has made its way past us, and it's now doing a twirl in the water. It's something else to see all the ships out here right now. And I just want to let you know that we're going to be back here tomorrow as well as Friday. You could come out and join us right here on the patio, be part of the program. And during the commercial breaks, we're actually giving away some fabulous prizes, like cruises on the courtesy of Spirit Cruises.
On the duck?
Not on the duck, but Harbor Cruises, including dinner cruises. We're giving away brunch. And you get a chance to be annoyed by us while you're trying to have your lunch. Now.
Thanks, Phil. Come
bonus.
On.
Up next, from the look of it, this area could be harboring pirates. In fact, we may be seeing some unnecessarily puffy sleeves and large belt buckles amongst the landlubbers here today. And we hope to talk a little history of pirates. Pirates right here in the South Bay. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The Friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow and Friday, noon to 3, Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're live from the Tall Ships Festival on the patio of the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant. And during the commercial break, we gave away a door prize, a package of four tickets to a dinner cruise out on the harbor on a yacht. And it's a valuable prize courtesy of Spirit Cruises. And our winner is with us here at our table, at our booth set up. And what is your name, young lady?
Jaden.
Here, point that microphone right at her directly. There you go. Hi, Jaden. How old a young lady are you, by the way?
What?
How old are you?
Eight.
8 years old. So you're going to find another person to come with you, have a romantic dinner cruise on the harbor, right? And maybe a couple more friends. Do you have somebody that you're romantically involved with?
My grandma.
Your grandma. Very good.
That's beautiful.
Jaden, can you explain to us how you won this contest? Did you have a game plan going into it? How did you win the grand prize?
This isn't the Super Bowl,
we
right?
just got lucky.
Yeah, she got lucky. That's the way. Well, you keep your eye on the prize, and you enjoy your dinner cruise when it happens, and tell your grandma we said hello, will you? All right, very good. There she goes. That's
cutie.
Good. You don't expect an 8-year-old to be romantically involved, and she did not... surprise us with anything.
I know. You tried to bait her into a question, Phil.
I was
going to
ask her if she's married, if she has a job. Did she drive over?
In this economy, you need a job at 8.
Yeah. You know what? You might need a good job just to go to Taco Bell anymore. Isn't that right, Chris?
Well, possibly. Taco Bell's trying something innovative, that's for sure. And it's not a taco shell made from Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Oh.
They're opening a new upscale taco restaurant, actually. They're going to ditch the fast food, and they're going to try to go upscale. It looks it's kind of like Tex-Mex type of cuisine, maybe a little Chipotle-ish, but they want to provide more variety than Chipotle.
Yeah.
They're calling it U.S. Taco Company.
Oh. U.S. Taco Company.
Yeah, and they're going to provide regional taco dishes from all across America, like lobster and mahi-mahi, pulled pork and brisket, just to name a few.
All right.
Right now, there is only one on the planet, and it's right down the road in Huntington Beach. So if you want an upscale taco from Taco Bell, just head over the bridge, catch the 405, and go grab yourself a U.S. Taco Company
now,
taco.
Now, here's how the companies like that get us coming and going. This is a related Taco Bell story. Normally, a fast food chain has a dollar menu, right? Seems like a great deal. But perhaps not this time. Taco Bell is rolling out a new dollar menu nationwide this week. There are 11 items on it, each one a dollar. But since Taco Bell is already so weirdly cheap, four of the things on the dollar menu actually had their prices raised to get up to $1.
I can tell you exactly what those four things are, Phil.
The things that you order on a regular basis,
right?
No, here's what they are. Cinnamon twists and cheesy roll-ups used to be 89 cents. Now they're a buck. Potato soft tacos. I didn't know they had those.
What?
And caramel empanadas. Did you know they had those? They were 99 cents, so now they're up a penny to a buck.
You still get the hot sauce for free, right? Because I've filled up on just that before.
Can't blame you. Now, only Taco Bell can introduce a dollar menu that raises the prices on things. The dollar menu also features a few mini quesadillas, triple-layer nachos, and a few burritos, all of which seem like good deals at $1.
Nachos,
right?
All right. I can go for that.
Yeah, all right. And so we have that out of the way, and we, again, we're live. Listen to the helicopters and the crowds down here and the tall ships.
Well, they're here for us, Phil.
Often we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Jay.
Albuquerque is a great town.
For strange stories.
Yes. We've got Florida State has great stories, and Albuquerque, the city, has phenomenal stories. So a guy got into a little bit of trouble, had to do some time. He went to prison for a little while, and then he went to go visit his parole officer. Now, look, if you're anything like me, you have no idea what that means. I've never done that.
Sure, Jay.
There was that one time, Chris, and I told you that in confidence. So a guy had to get there, and he was in a hurry, but he kind of had a twisted ankle. So he got there in kind of an unusual way. When he finally met with his parole officer says, hey, where'd you get the scooter? Where'd you get the rascal? You guys know what a rascal is? You drive around the shopping cart,
thing. If you come
to the hover round.
Yeah, if you get
there
to the store.
There you go, the hover round, yes.
Yeah.
Evidently, he stole it from an Albuquerque Walmart on his way to meet his parole officer.
Had to get there.
Yes. Favorite story of the day today.
Just not very fast.
Right.
All right.
Oh, those things move. Are you kidding me?
Oh, how, what? Have
you been run over?
Have you been on one?
Oh, yeah. I've been on one. They don't corner very well either, and it's really hard to back up. I almost knocked over a whole display of beef jerky when I had my broken foot.
and that would have been a
You needed a rascal for a
terrible
tragedy.
Foot?
You know, you get it's hard on crutches to actually push a shopping cart or carry the thing. So, yeah, I get the one at the grocery store and ride around in it. Yeah.
I would pay money to see that.
Oh, there's video.
Now, you're not going to get around anywhere in your car if you have a flat tire. And for a few years now, pretty much every car company has quietly stopped including spare tires in their new cars. Have you noticed this?
No.
It's so prominent these days that the odds are the next car you buy won't have a spare tire, and there are three main reasons why car companies are getting rid of spare tires altogether. It's cheaper just to include a kit to patch the tire.
It's true.
Well,
weight from a spare tire hurts your gas mileage.
Oh.
Right?
Can't be by much.
And here's the favorite reason of all. You probably don't even know how to change a flat tire anyway. Right. So what's the point?
Oh, yeah, but
it's
you know
really
how to
true.
Repair one? Yeah. Have you ever tried to do a tire patch repair kit?
On the side of the road?
You had to be MacGyver.
I had a flat this weekend, and it was a fast hissing. It was almost flat, and I have one of those little pump-up things that goes into your cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
I pumped it up just enough to get to the, tire place.
Look at you being all fancy.
And so resourceful.
See?
And by the way, the car of the future will either be self-driving or flying. We're still waiting for that, of course, so that won't have a spare tire either. So basically, your spare tire days are over.
Well, that's sad.
I don't like that.
Except for that diet thing.
It's one of the things I know how to do that I feel very, capable.
Manly.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I can take
Chris,
care of
we
this.
Were talking about the airport earlier on, and it's something surprising to me. We all know what these e-cigarettes are.
Right, vape pens, they call them.
Yeah, vapors. They're not really smoking anything that's on fire necessarily. But what happened now? The airports have a problem with these. What is it?
They do, especially airline officials in Boston. They're calling for federal authorities to place larger restrictions on e-cigarettes in airplanes because last week one of the devices packed in a bag caught on fire and caused the passengers to have to evacuate the plane.
No.
So apparently it's the lithium-ion batteries that caused the problem, which means I also won't be able to bring my rigid toolkit onto the plane
right.
which is unfortunate. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hey, we want to talk real quick, a little history of pirates. We figured that we would find a pirate here at the Tall Ship Festival sooner or later, and joining us live now...
Phil, she's got vermin.
What is that?
Jamaica Rose...
Oh, God.
And she's got a rat with her.
This is Blackbeard the pirate.
This is who?
Right up against it.
Oh, the rat's name is Blackbeard?
Right up against it.
All right.
Jamaica
Rose
that dessert tray.
Is the author of the Book of Pirates, A Guide to Plundering, Pillaging, and Other Pursuits. Jamaica, there's the book. Thank you very much. It's
Can
available
it?
In
Can
our store at philhewlettandfriends.com.
He doesn't buy it except politicians.
Jamaica, would you do me a favor and explain the difference between plundering and pillaging?
They both work pretty good. Sometimes you burn before and sometimes you burn after.
All right. Who are the pirates? Were they born into a long line of piratry or did they just fall into this vocation when they hit hard times?
Mostly the latter. Although there are families of pirates, it all depends upon there's been pirates all through history. Even Julius Caesar was kidnapped by pirates.
Ah.
And we have pirates through today. So it depends upon what time of period and what country and what area. There are some families of pirates in the Chinese seas. There were families of pirates, and they were headed up by the largest pirate fleet was headed up by a female pirate, Ching Yi Zhao, in the early 1800s. She had over 1,000 pirates under her command.
Tom Hanks knows all about pirates. And just north of here, on the Palos Verdes Peninsula, there's Smuggler's Cove and other perfect hideouts for pirates. Do we factor in locally in pirate history?
Well, it all depends upon your definition of pirate. Piracy. Smuggling is kind of an overlap with piracy. We did a lot of smuggling here in the California coast during the Prohibition era.
What about when I download music from the internet? Does that count?
That can count.
Okay.
It all depends upon your definition.
Help me with the proper pirate attire here. You have to have the puffy sleeves, right?
It doesn't hurt.
And a giant belt buckle?
Yeah, the puffy sleeves are so when they're coming at you with a sword, they hit your sleeve rather than your arm.
Right. And what's the day-to-day function of rum in the life of a pirate?
Do you have to ask?
Apparently not.
I like that answer. All right.
Anyone who has to ask about rum doesn't deserve it.
What are the pirates doing here at the Tall Ship Festival this week?
Where there are boats, there are pirates.
There's no way around it. And what's the captain here doing? This is an actual rat, and Chris is holding the rat.
It is.
This is Blackbeard the pirate. He's part of our crew. We also have his first mate with us, so if you want to come visit him, we're at the No Quarter Given booth, and they're very friendly.
Yep.
They love to meet the children and grown-ups.
The Book of Pirates, A Guide to Plundering, Pillaging, and Other Pursuits. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the patio of the Portsicall Waterfront Dining Restaurant, and you are invited. Show up at noon. For early happy hour, we'll be giving away more door prizes like a romantic dinner cruise courtesy of Spirit Cruises. For executive producer Mike Stark, our producer Brooke Peterson, our production assistant Nick Wright, assistant in training Nikki Lucius, Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It from the Tall Ships Festival here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow and Friday, noon to 3, Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.